continue on with the subject of Nehemiah. Let's turn now to chapter 4 of his book, and we'll read the first three verses. They seem to be all of one subject. That's Nehemiah 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down the stone wall. In the previous chapter, we had seen how the mighty work of the Spirit of God put energy into these people to work. And we can rest assured that when the Spirit of God is working, that the enemy is going to start to oppose. And so here now we find this unfolded to us. You remember that we mentioned earlier, might just turn back to the second chapter for a moment, chapter 2 and verse 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. I think we mentioned at that time that the opposition starts very gently and it increases. So there we say, in that second chapter, we see that it grieved them exceedingly that anyone was going to come to seek the welfare of these people of God, the children of Israel. But now it grows a little stronger, doesn't it? And in our chapter, it says, verse 1, that he was wroth and took, Sanballat, that is, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he speaks before his people and also the whole army, and he asks five questions, and then Tobiah, by him, he continues on and makes the foolish remark that even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Well, the deep feelings that underlay their remarks are quite different, aren't they? They're trying to hide what they really knew was going on. And they talk in a sarcastic way. If they really were thinking that it was all so feeble and that the fox could push down the wall, well, what were they so worried about? But we know that they really knew that God was working, and so the opposition is going to increase. I'd like to just point out a little matter. In that first verse it says, and mocked the Jews. Now turn for a moment over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and 36, where the Spirit of God has noticed all these things that have gone on in the Old Testament, and they're not forgotten by God. And so here we find in that 36th verse of Hebrews 11, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more often, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. All was noticed by the Lord. And beloved friends, let's not think that he's any different today. Do we have trials and difficulties? Sometimes even those mockings. Well, take courage, because the Lord sees it all, and we know that he's with us. So let's return now to our Nehemiah. Let's look for a moment at these five questions in that second verse. What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? I notice Mr. Darby has a different translation. Shall they be permitted to go on? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? It's rather interesting to see that they ask in that the second question, shall they be permitted to go on? And then, will they sacrifice? I suppose he was trying to insinuate that all these poor, feeble Jews needed to do would be to sacrifice to God, and then they'd be able to finish it in a day, as the next question suggests, and that they'd be able to use the stones that had been burnt, which normally would be useless. All this is sarcasm, and we know who really it was aimed at. It was aimed right at the Lord. What has all this to say to you and to me today? Well, surely we know that God has put these points in to encourage us, to show us that though we're not building walls today, we certainly can learn the lesson that if you and I are going to be faithful to the Lord, we're going to have to be in separation from the world and all that would come in to spoil our sweet communion with a holy God. And so we know that Satan uses these very methods, first to make light of it, as we saw in the second chapter, to make light of our feeble testimony. And then as he sees the Spirit of God working in the life of the believer, so Satan's attacks increase, and so the anger develops to intimidate us. And there we see, as I was mentioning about that sacrifice, really fearing underneath it all that when we are close to the Lord, miracles indeed can happen, and the Lord does help. But everything is suggested to keep us from that close contact with the Lord. For certainly Satan knows that when there is that building of the wall of walking in separation and keeping the world out and keeping close to the Lord within the walls, then there is power in our life and the testimony for God's glory. And this is what Satan fears most of all, that there would be glory brought to the Lord Jesus in our lives. Well, may we be getting these little points as we go on now. Permit me to go a little farther along in that thought, and that is that God, on this earth, he has a center, and that center is Christ. And we know that the Holy Spirit is here on earth to draw souls, first of all, to Christ in salvation. God wills that all men be saved. And then that second part, and come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, beloved friends, salvation of our souls is first and primary, of course, but it's only half. And that is that the Spirit of God would desire to gather souls only to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that nothing stirs the hatred of the enemy more than this very fact, that the Lord Jesus Christ would receive the glory of having even a little company gathered to his blessed name in such a day similar to the day of Nehemiah when the walls are broken down. Well, how much we need to realize this, beloved ones, that we are left here on this earth not only to be a testimony to the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, but to be a witness and a testimony to Christ as that gathering center. For we know that worship really is should be first in our lives. The worship of God means the lifting up of Christ before God. Well, may we realize that when there is that desire in our hearts to live for the glory of the Lord Jesus and walk in separation, that it may mean walking in separation from even other of the Lord's people. And we would hear almost the same words, as Sanballat and Tobiah have been mentioning, and the questions inferred, who do these people think they are? A little company gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus? Why, all the Christians are on their way to heaven, they say. Why should there be any separation? But we know that the Lord Jesus, being in the midst, calls for a walk of separation from all that would hinder, all that would be of the world, all that would be not pleasing to the eye of the Lord. And it is going to cost us something. And we know that the more faithful we may be for the Lord, the more stiff the opposition will be, as we will see as we go on with this valuable book of Nehemiah. Well, these people could be very happy as they builded this wall, and that they had a leader who was on his guard and watching and armed at every point too against the devices of Satan, and he knew how to use that shield to be able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. So what do we find now? Is Nehemiah going to be frightened by these attacks of the enemy? Let's read verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Another one of Nehemiah's brief but effective prayers. Notice that he connects two great things, and that is that the enemies of Israel that surrounded them were really the enemies of God. Sanballat and Tobiah were deliberately setting themselves in opposition to the work of the Spirit of God. Well, dear friends, may we all realize more fully what a serious thing it is to persecute God's people, or in any way to hinder the work of God today. So we can learn this wonderful fact, and that is that the closer we're walking with God, the more we're going to be able to realize God's thoughts and to learn that the opposition to us is really aimed at opposition to God. And therefore, we having that fellowship with the mind of the Lord, then we can take encouragement by asking his help and laying the whole matter before him, for we know that he is with us. So it's nice to see the two sides of the life of Nehemiah, the inward and the outward, his prayer life and his devotedness to God in this labor that was going on. Though no one may have heard this prayer of Nehemiah, we know that the Lord did, and isn't it lovely to realize that his very words are recorded here for us to teach us the secret of all this power and the courage to go on in the presence of this danger, and to realize their utter dependence on the Lord, and for you and for me to take courage too to go on even though the difficulties may be real and great. It's rather nice to notice how the fifth verse swings right into the sixth. And the first part of the sixth verse says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Well, we know it wasn't their own mind. It was really carrying out the mind of God. But here they went on, and part of the work now has been completed. What sweet cooperation and oneness we find here in the work of the Lord. And it's very much like the verse that we have in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. I'll just read it to you. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Well, we see that the all was joined together, and they all were of one mind. Well, now, what is the enemy going to do? Leave these poor feeble people alone? Let's read on and see. Verse 7. "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it." Well, we saw earlier, didn't we, that there were just a few individuals that had been making ridicule of the work, but now we see the numbers are increasing, and Satan is finding that he needs more than Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, and if they couldn't succeed, well, he's going to get others. So we find the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites. And these were new allies. And so he's getting an army together, and it's going to be to fight. Their scoffing now is replaced by their attempts at violence. And so it ever is, beloved ones. The methods that Satan uses may change from time to time. And sometimes it's subtlety, sometimes it's mockery, and sometimes it's direct violence. And so here now we see them getting ready to fight. Now what can the children of Israel do to meet this array of power? Well, they had a leader, didn't they, whose confidence was in God. I wonder if he had read of the days of Elisha when he was surrounded by that great army of the Syrians, and early in the morning the servant came to him and told him that they were completely surrounded. "Alas, master," he said, "what shall we do?" Well, Elisha didn't even bother to go out to look, but he did say that be with them. This was the confidence that Elisha had, and so we see it now in our leader, Nehemiah. He's not daunted by this apparent display of strength, but because he has that secret weapon, doesn't he? So what does he say in verse 9? "Nevertheless," didn't discount the violence, "nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Now, here is a remarkable word for us, isn't it? Nehemiah displays two things. He displays the confidence in the Lord, and he prays, and at the same time, he sets a watch. And these are the two invisible weapons that God puts in your hands and mine. You remember the blessed Lord himself said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." And then Paul himself later on in Ephesians 6 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance." Well, may we realize more and more that unless there is that watchfulness maintained against Satan, he'll lull us into forgetfulness, and we're going to lose out in our soul. Now let's discover in the next verse, verse 10, that there are more trials, and this time, sad to have to say it, from within. Verse 10, and Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." Well, isn't it so, beloved ones? There are many things to weaken us, and one of them, so often, is to get our eye off the Lord. And we all recall that in our early days, when we first came to know the Lord, there seemed to be that spiritual energy and discernment to recognize the power of the enemy and not to be overcome by it. But as time went on, and possibly as the Ephesian church was told that they had left their first love, so these subtle weaknesses begin to come in. And this is what Judah is referring to. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. They were getting tired of the work, and so this, and there was a decay setting in. Well, beloved ones, haven't we seen that as we look back over the history of the church, the slow decline and the decaying as the burden has become greater, or thought that it is, for we know that the Lord never gives us something to carry that is too heavy for us. But when our eye gets away from the Lord and on to the difficulties, why, then we begin to, our strength starts to decay. And then the next point was that he says that there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Well, isn't that true, too? So often we hear other Christians saying, well, we're living in such a day of ruin, and so much rubbish around, and there's so much confusion, you really can't know what is the right path for the Christian, so we just have to go on our own, go it alone, as they say, and just hope for the best. It's all a day of ruin anyway, and now isn't that just exactly what we read here? The rubbish was so great that they couldn't get at the foundation areas to build the wall. Well, beloved ones, may the Lord just show us that there are no obstacles that he doesn't give us the strength to overcome. And may we learn this lesson. Now, verse 11. Adversaries said, "They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them, and cause the work to cease." Well, their true purpose was here, it's told. But they didn't, notice, they didn't say this to the Israelites, they said this to themselves. They won't know. But isn't it wonderful to realize that God just puts in here the very words that they were saying amongst themselves? And you and I can just have this blessed confidence, too, to know that the Lord would tell us the danger areas where Satan is lurking. And we can save ourselves so much trouble, can't we, by not relying on our own thoughts, but on listening to what the Lord tells us in his word. For we know that the word of God has many such messages that relay to us what Satan will do to us. And so, as I said, their purpose, their real purpose was to slay them. But that was what they would do to them. But God's work would also suffer and cause the work to cease. Now, verse 12. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Well, we see yet one more cause for discouragement. In our 12th verse, the Jews which dwelt by them, that would be no doubt those Jews who hadn't come to do this work, those who probably lived amongst the Samaritans. They came, and 10 times, this is going on and on, they warned them that these enemies were really going to succeed, and there was going to be their destruction. But what do they say? From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. They didn't have any sense of the presence of God. They only looked at the circumstances, and they were assuring their fellow Jews that they never could succeed. Well, isn't that true of those who have no heart for the Lord, really, may be making a profession of it? So often they would seek to discourage us and to tell us that there's not much use. What's the use of going on? Everything is in ruin, and the enemy is going to overcome. And 10 times, you know, they said this, and so we need to be on our guard, beloved ones, don't we? Well, I see our time is gone now. May the Lord just take these words and bless them to us and give us the courage to go on now, for we surely know that God has committed to his people the building of this wall of separation from everything that would hinder, and may we realize that the blessed Lord Jesus is with us.